To you, my fellow believers, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all here. I'd also like to thank the Sunday School for sharing those special numbers. In His time, what a beautiful, beautiful song. I'd like to take this moment to wish each one of you who is a mother this morning, Happy Mother's Day. And my prayer is that you would be encouraged this morning as we briefly take a look at just one example of a godly mother in the Bible. As I think about Mother's Day this morning, my thoughts are immediately drawn to our current day, our family situation. Family is something that society is really trying to twist, something that society is even trying to take the word out of it. They're trying to take family away. They're trying to change what family looks like. They're trying to downplay the importance of the traditional family. Family, the way God intended it. One male, one female, together for life. One breadwinner husband and one homemaker wife. And in society, people often think that the role of a mother is less important. It's less significant. Well, I want to tell you this morning that it is not. The role of a mother is very important and it's very significant. They are the ones who are raising up the next generation. And that's why the goal of becoming a godly mother should be the highest, most noble pursuit of any who are mother, to be a godly mother. It shouldn't be your goal just to become a mother, but to be a godly mother. One who desires to raise her children in a God-honoring way. And God has gifted mothers or women for this very purpose. And it's a very high calling to be a godly mother. With that in mind, I want to encourage you this morning with one biblical example of a mother, of a godly mother. We're going to take a look at Hannah. She is the mother of the prophet Samuel. So you can turn with me. We find that in 1 Samuel, the first two chapters. We're not going to be able to cover it all this morning. But we see Hannah became a mother by faith. In the opening verses of 1 Samuel, she is introduced to us as a childless woman. But God granted her a precious gift, and she became a mother of one of the greatest men who ever walked the earth. And there's so much here that we can look at, but we're going to just briefly look at a few things. But just to get a little bit of background on Hannah. Hannah lived in a tough time. We think we live in a tough time today, and in many ways we do. But the time we live in today is no tougher than the time that Hannah lived. It was a period of the judges in Israel, and the situation in Israel was extremely difficult. Samson had died, and with the death of Samson, there was no great leader in the land. And the land was in a state of turmoil and confusion. And there was a desperate need for a great leader. It was a chaotic time, a sinful time. It was a day that was perhaps the parallel of ours today, or maybe even worse. The priesthood that was supposed to lead the people of God had become totally corrupted. There were vile and sinful men in the priesthood. It was a wretched time, a time of gross evil, a time when not only was the leadership gone, but the priesthood had abandoned its calling as well. The nation was weak. There were no great preachers. It was a time of a tremendous downhill slide, a slide away from the divine standard. And so it was a time when God needed a special man. And in order to make a special man, you need to have a special woman. And Hannah was that woman. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God.'" Now that's the best way I know how to introduce to you Hannah. Hannah was a special lady who really knew God. She had a divine perspective. And I think chapter 2, the first couple of verses, really opens up to us our understanding of what kind of woman this was. Now we need to back up a little bit to chapter 1, and we find Hannah has a husband. And his name is Elkanah. And he has two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now we meet a family. A strange one at that. Two wives. One has children, and one does not. But we pick it up in verse 3, and it says, "This man, Elkanah, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?' So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.' And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, but only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, 'How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee.' And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out of my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew the bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. We're going to go through just a few highlights that we can pull out of that. Hannah. The first thing I want you to note about Hannah as a godly mother, she was devoted to her husband. Elkanah went up out of the city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and Hannah went with him. Contrary to popular opinion, the most important characteristic of a godly mother is her relationship. Not with her children, but with her husband. And not only with her husband, but with her God. But your relationship with your husband and what you communicate to your children through your marital relationship will stay with your children the rest of their lives. By watching you and by watching your husband, they are learning the most fundamental lessons of life. Lessons of love, self-sacrifice, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, even sin or wrongdoing. If that is what we show them is okay, that will stick with them forever. Whatever you teach them about those things, right or wrong, is planted deep in their hearts. And Hannah was devoted to her husband. But Hannah was not only devoted to her husband, she was also devoted to her God. Even though Hannah struggled through the pain and adversity of being barren, the cruelty she faced because of it, she still turned to the Lord. And she pours out her heart to him in humble devotion. And we have just read that. It started in verse 9. And even in her sadness, Hannah didn't complain to her husband, because there was nothing he could do. And she didn't fight back against Elkanah's other wife, Peninna, when she tormented her. Instead, what did Hannah do? She trusted God through prayer. That's a beautiful characteristic. She understood that God was the source of children, that God alone could provide her a child. In verse 12, it says, "It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord." You know, her prayers were constant. She stayed there in the temple praying with a broken heart, pouring out tearful prayers. Verse 10 says she wept sore. Or you could say she was in great anguish. But Hannah knew where to go. She knew where to turn. And that was to the Lord. Another thing to note about Hannah is that she was willing from the start to give the child back to God. And not just for a time, but for life. It wasn't about her. It wasn't about getting what she wanted. It was about self-sacrifice. Giving herself to that little life only to give him back to the Lord in a short time. After coming to that place in her heart, after expressing her desires to the Lord in prayer, she experienced the peace that humble devotion to God brings. In verse 18 it says, "She went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no longer sad." She turned to the Lord. She was devoted to her husband. She was devoted to the Lord. But we see Hannah also be devoted to the home. According to his perfect will, God gave Hannah a son, Samuel. And it came in due time after Hannah had conceived, she gave birth to a son. Verse 20 says, "She named him Samuel because I have asked him of the Lord." And she devoted herself to her motherly responsibilities. She was fully committed to her home and to raising that child. And the time came for one of the annual trips to Shiloh. And Elkanah came to Hannah to prepare her for the trip. Verse 21, Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice, but Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband in verse 22, "I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." When God gave the child, Hannah dedicated herself to raising him. She would be devoted to that task for several years. Knowing her time was short, but she was willing to be devoted to training and to teaching this young child, to train him up in the way that he should go. Hannah was totally committed to stay in the home until that little life was trained. She had an important work to do. Nursing, loving, caring, instructing. Hannah understood how vital these early years were. She prepared him in those early years for a lifetime of service to God. Such a high calling. And I don't want us to mistake her devotion to raising Samuel this morning as putting her child ahead of worshiping the Lord. No, I think what Hannah was doing was taking care of the best gift God ever could give her. She was giving to God the highest service that she could possibly give. It was more important for Hannah to stay there and nurse that child at that point than to go offer sacrifices to God. She knew the priorities. She stayed home with the child in total dedication and commitment, training, loving, instructing, and caring for that child. Because Hannah knew that one day she would have to give him back. It wasn't about fulfilling her deepest needs through her child. It was about fulfilling her oath to God. It was about being faithful to her calling to be a godly mother and to train and raise Samuel for a lifetime of service. Hannah was also devoted to faithful worship. We see that throughout chapter 1 and even into chapter 2. Hannah was dedicated to worshiping God. Together with her husband, they were dedicated to faithfully worshiping God. It says in verse 3 that Elkanah went up yearly to worship and offer sacrifices unto the Lord, and we know Hannah went with. After Hannah had so earnestly prayed and asked for a son, it says in verse 19, the following morning, that they rose up early and worshipped before the Lord. And after Hannah had given Samuel back to the Lord, she prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my strength is exalted in the Lord, my mouth smiles at my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. The way you live, the things you do, the things that are important to you will be relayed onto your children. Your children are watching. Your children are learning, even if you don't think they are. If you live a life of constant praise and constant worship, your children will see that. If you live a life that is fully devoted to God, that your service to Him is priority number one, they will see that. And that will stick with them. We are to lead by example. She lived a life of constant worship and constant rejoicing for what God had done. And Samuel, too, worshipped the Lord. Hannah gave Samuel back to the Lord, just like she had promised in verse 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah gave him back to the Lord. But it doesn't mean that she didn't care about him anymore. She still cared about that child. The rest of that child's life. She never really let go. In fact, as they would go back to the temple through the years, they would always go back and express their care and their love to that child. Further on in chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 19, it says, and Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. That wasn't the end of the story. The Lord never does take without giving. Hannah had been faithful with what God had given her, and the Lord ended up blessing her, I think, far more than she ever imagined. 5 kids. Maybe she got more than she bargained for. And Samuel grew before the Lord, it says. That is the goal, or that should be the goal, of every godly mother. That your children would grow in the Lord. That your children would live a life that aligns with Scripture. That they would be committed and dedicated in their service to the Lord. Samuel grew and ministered to the Lord. We cannot put a price on the value of a godly mother. For those of you whose mothers are still living, may we recognize our mothers this Mother's Day for the things they did well. Our mothers maybe haven't always been perfect. None of us are. But let's focus on the things that they did, that she did well. Let's look beyond the shortcomings. For those of you who are mothers, I hope you are encouraged by Hannah this morning. Be devoted to God. Be devoted to your husbands. Be devoted to your homes. Be devoted in your worship to God. That's your highest calling. Very high calling. And your greatest joy. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful passage. Lord, to be again reminded of the high priority you place on motherhood. We pray that you would give mothers here the grace and the strength to raise up a godly seed, that they, like Samuel, might minister before you. I pray that each mother here would be encouraged this morning to be a godly mother, devoted to you, to their husbands, to their homes, and Lord, giving you all honor and glory, praise and all worship above all things. We pray and ask this in your name. Amen. We see this morning that mothers are to be devoted to God, devoted to their husbands, devoted to their homes, devoted to true, genuine worship. The list is heavy. And I might know what some of you men are thinking. Oh, this is a good day. The light is low. The load is light. Well, I'm not just talking to mothers this morning. I'm talking to you as well. You're not off the hook. You too are to be devoted to God, devoted to your wives, devoted to your homes and providing for them. Devoted to true, genuine worship of your Heavenly Father. We are to love our lives like Christ loved the church. Sacrificially, caringly, permanently. We are to be absolutely unbreakable in our devotion and our commitment to our wives. We are to make a covenant with your wife that follows the pattern that Christ made with the church. And nothing can separate the church from Christ. Nothing should separate the two of you either. Would Christ cast away the church? No, he wouldn't. Then nor should man cast away his wife, nor wife her husband. We as husbands and wives are to submit to each other, love each other, respect each other. We are to humble ourselves. We are to sacrifice for each other. Our children will see that. And so in doing these things, according to Scripture, living our marriages the way they should be, we can become the godly mothers and the godly fathers that Christ intended. To raise up the next generation, to be a God-honoring and a God-fearing generation. Something we see in our current day that is slipping away very fast. May we be encouraged with that this morning. Love your wives. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. May God's peace and presence go with each one. You're dismissed.